Welcome back to The Comixologist, coming to you not live from New York City at Slim and Kazam.
What a show we have planned. Kazam, hashtag Kazam, hashtag Age of Kazam.
That already happened. Don't live in the past. Today's a new day.
That feels like just yesterday, but this is the podcast where we talk about books that we read this week, and we try to pitch them to each other and see how it goes, and maybe, you know, something magical happens in this process. Who knows?
Comics are great, and we love talking about them, and our hope is that this love will translate to you guys finding a new comic that you will also love as much as we love it.
This love will translate. Sounds like a 1980s pop band album title.
Yep.
You ever heard of CU, Kara? Comixology Unlimited?
Tell me more.
Comixology Unlimited is a brand new shiny thing we unveiled maybe almost 4 weeks ago. Got a couple thousand books in it, $5.99 a month for US-based customers currently. And you can try books that are in the service. So we just had our first wave where we added new titles to it. And the big one, let's see, maybe emotionally the big one was Mage. Mage was David's, our CEO's, I think, first love, his first comic book love. There's pages all over our office from it. But that was added. Afterlife with Archie was added.
Yes!
I need to turn that into a text notification noise.
So these are all being added on Monday.
Yes, correct. They'll be available on Monday, so don't look for them now.
I don't know why looked at my watch as if my watch would tell me the Monday. Days of the week.
Your watch just said available Monday.
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense, I guess, if I had one of those fancy tech watches, but I have an old school analog watch.
Archer and Armstrong, Soulfire, District 14, God Hates Astronauts, which is one of the most insane comic books I've ever read. Hilarious. The Mice Templar, Mind the Gap. The Sixth Gun is really good. It's like sci-fi western. And Afterlife with Archie, I think, is... I know you talk about Archie all the time, but if I may give one recommendation for Archie...
You may.
...people that have never read Archie, I feel like this is a very fun... chance for you to start reading Archie books.
Ooh,
because
would you
know,
call
it's about
Afterlife fun?
Yeah, sure. It's a horror book. People are dying, you know, coming back from the dead, maybe. You don't know. You don't know what to expect with Afterlife with Archie. If you like horror and maybe you've heard of Archie, you should give it a shot next week on CU.
Hands down, one of my favorite horror comics of all time.
Wow.
Of all time.
Oh, my word. Should we get into the new releases that came out this week?
Absolutely.
She-Wolf. How about that banner image that's on the new release list right now? She-Wolf. Looks amazing.
I thought about Howling, but then I thought about not Howling. And I went with that one.
What an amazing turn of events. The first official issue of the new Wonder Woman series is out. Justice League. Star Wars The Force Awakens. Is this like the comic adaptation of the movie, I guess?
Uh-huh.
Life with Kevin from the aforementioned Archie company.
I read it. I'll be talking about it.
The new Flash series starts officially today. New Tomb Raider Action Comics. James Bond Action Man. Shaman Volume 1, which I believe I talked about maybe a couple months ago, the first issue.
Yes, you did.
I think I might have called it Shaman around that time. Deadpool versus Gambit number 1.
Yes,
Divinity.
I read that one too. I'm so excited. It was such a good week for comics that make me happy.
Indoctrination Department H number 3. Detective Comics. There's just a ton of stuff.
Bitch Planet. New Bitch Planet.
Bitch Planet. Wow. Okay. The Complete NYX. I'm looking through the Marvel group now. Holy moly. What did you read, Kazam?
Deadpool v. Gambit. And... okay, so my frame of reference for Gambit is the vague awareness of him that I have from just being a youth in the 90s, and also from, what's his name, Taylor Kitsch, who played him in that Wolverine Origins movie.
I don't know what that movie is.
And then, of course, my recent read-through of Age of Apocalypse, having read very little X-Men before that, introduced.
Plus, when you see my hair, you think, you know, that reminds me of Gambit's hair.
That is
right. You say that all the time.
That is not what I think when I see your hair, like at all. But okay, if that makes you happy, we can go with that. And of course, I know Deadpool from just being alive now, like with an awareness of nerd culture and the very recent, very successful Deadpool movie. So when these two things were going to be combined in this one book, I just thought to myself, that looks sexy. That looks like a sexy book. Let's do this. So I read it, and it's actually one of like the most well-paced and funniest books I've read in a long time.
Plus the fact that you mentioned sexy specifically, but it's got that Kevin Wada cover, that variant.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, his art is amazing. So what's the plot? How do these two get connected in some kind of hijinks enamored
so
way?
These two guys run into each other in line to get some coffee at a coffee shop. And so it's like a totally random, they run into one another. And most of the issue is them actually reminiscing about the last time they were hanging out together, which is when the two of them were pulling a heist to get some diamonds. And like, so it's a very simple premise, but like I said, the action sequences and how everything's flowing together and the dialogue, oh, the dialogue is so good. Like, so good. There's all these things like at one point they run into Spider-Man and Daredevil, and they're just out antiquing. They just like made a date with one another to go antiquing. And I just thought that was like the most adorable thing.
Did I page through and see Spider-Man wearing a suit but still wearing the mask at one point?
Yeah, he's just being a tourist, you know, like you do. Mm-hmm. So I mean there's really not a lot like plot wise going on in this book that I would like feel weird about revealing as a spoiler, but just, oh, it was so much fun. A great way to spend like the amount of time that it takes you to read a comic book.
It does seem like a genius combination that hasn't happened yet, that doesn't seem like a seedy Deadpool cash grab.
No, it does feel very like it makes sense. These two characters working together or working against one another makes sense to me. And I felt like I didn't really need to know anything about either of them going in, because within the first few pages, their repartee is established and I kind of know like what their powers are and what's going on just from being able to read it. So I actually think, even though this is definitely, I think, targeted at more of like the core fan base for Marvel Comics, I think it's actually a really accessible jumping on point for people who aren't really familiar with that world.
One book that I want to call out that I didn't have time to read that I was annoyed with myself for, that was actually released yesterday, and it's a graphic novel called Dark Knight, A True Batman Story. And if you grew up reading or watching the Batman animated series, Paul Dini is the writer of this. And he, you know,
I did grow up doing that. This is a book for me.
It is. And the art is from the legendary Eduardo Risso, but this is a different kind of Batman tale. It's autobiographical. It follows Paul Dini after he was, you know, like physically assaulted one night when he was coming home, and his journey from recovery from that moment and how he used Batman to help him move forward.
Is your dog in there with you?
No, that was the trash. That was a trash truck squeaking down the street. Enough about this emotional story. Is that your dog making that noise? Listen, I have the window open. It's hot, Carol. We can't afford central air, you know, like these Manhattan socialites in this house.
You should have come in today then.
So I highly recommend, I'm going to be reading this. Hopefully I have time today to finish this. 130 pages. So, and the art is just stunningly gorgeous. I can't wait to read it. But I did read a book this week. It's called Indoctrination from Michael Morrissey and Matt Battaglia. Michael Morrissey did Hoax Hunters and Roche Limit. I think we talked to him during San Diego or maybe New York.
Yep.
But this one is a kind of, I don't know how to describe it, but a more of a slower burn. And it follows a group of agents on the hunt for a certain terrorist. Meanwhile, there's an agent that has a man on the inside to try to connect with this head terrorist. Like, if you wanted to think of it, you could say like they have the leader of ISIS is on the run and he might be in the States, and they have a man that could possibly connect with him to find out what's going on. And this is the job of these agents to try to connect with that leader through this guy. And he's kind of wary to help them. He's been in prison for many years, but if he wants to help them, he can get out. And you get to see how this impacts some of the agents' families and their lives. And it was great. I loved the first issue from two people that we know through the show. And I can't wait to finish the series.
Yeah, I ran into Matt Pataglia at Mocha Fest in New York this year, actually. And he had posters for Indoctrination and some really cool stickers. So right away, I knew the art was going to be great. But it's nice to know that the story is good, too.
Plus, if you have stickers, I mean, you can't lose with stickers in this day and age.
So true. So true.
What else have you got for us?
Life with Kevin.
Uh-oh.
So
we should get an Archie bell that we like ring when Archie. It's like kind of like my reminder, but with you, it's Archie, and I'll just ring it.
So Kevin Keller is the first openly gay character in the Archie Comics universe. And this Life with Kevin book is his adventures after college. So it's post-college, and he's moved to New York City to pursue his dreams of becoming a television journalist. And already the premise of this comic book is like frighteningly close to some High School Musical fan fiction I wrote a few years ago. So like, but maybe it's just moving to New York is such an obvious thing to write about for the youths of the world.
It is.
Anyway, so the style of this book is actually really cute because it's done in kind of like a black and white with some light blue accents. So it's got like a really retro feel to it that I enjoyed. And so this first issue is really just seeing Kevin on his first day in the city, going to work at his new job, which like somehow miraculously he's landed a gig as a production assistant at a top New York channel, like right out of college without having to slave away in internships for a while first. But you know what? More power to him. And not bitter at all. And yeah, it's really cute. Like he tries to take a shower and then the water is not turning off, so he ends up like flooding his entire apartment building. It could happen to anyone.
Oh, geez.
And discovers that
vintage
there's like
Kevin,
a really cute guy a couple floors down. So he's like trying to figure out if like not actively trying to figure out, but like in his head he's going like this guy's really cute. Like is he interested in me? Like, is he gay? Is he straight? So it's just like really cute to see Kevin getting a little flustered and in like the midst of this already terrible day. And he gets pulled on to be like an extra in a TV show at the network that day. And something happens to him that goes viral. So his bosses are like, well, we were going to fire you, but the internet likes you. So, okay. And I was like, oh, is that how jobs work now?
I was paging through, and the coloring that you mentioned is really fascinating. I wonder why they chose that as opposed to like a fuller, richer coloring. Because I'm paging through, and it's like it's black and white, but there's like a light blue, baby blue hue to everything. It's really
cool.
To
match his eyes.
Well, that could very well be true.
Yeah, he's got these gorgeous blue eyes. That's my theory. That is my theory now. That's why they chose this coloring. Anyway, no, it was delightful, and I just really enjoy that I accidentally ended up reading books that just made me genuinely happy while I was reading them.
The last book I read was The Flash number one from DC. The Flash Rebirth came out last week or 2 weeks ago, but this is the first official number one series, and I really loved it. I think the Flash series Rebirth might be my favorite book so far. It has the artist from one of my favorite Punisher runs that Greg Rucka did, is the Punisher Warzone miniseries. I think he drew it, and I think Josh Williamson is writing. This follows Barry kind of you get like the first issue, like, oh, I'm the Flash and this is how it happened. And it's kind of like, it's still an intro issue so that people like me can read the story and become aware of what his life is. He's like a member of kind of like this, the show's CSI, essentially. But there was one part that I really liked in when he was describing his job. And, you know, he's the Flash, he's the fastest man alive, and he has this really cool quote. It says, "I'd say I love my job, but every crime scene means I was already too late."
Oh, no! Like,
it's going to be, like, the most depressing thing I've ever heard in a Flash comic
book. Oh, my God!
So, it's really well done, and it's not like... this isn't kind of part one of some kind of big storyline. It's the beginning of something that maybe... you know, will be exciting. There's a character that Flash knows, something happens to him, and it was really well done. Like that. Poor Flash. Did you read anything else, or should we get into the letters?
Letters. We have a few.
Lucas from France writes in. We have a huge France audience. Let's be honest here. Hiya, Slim and Kazan. This is Lucas writing to you, not live from Montpellier,
oh,
France.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Montpellier, France.
Oh, that was good. That was good. It's Montpellier.
I discovered your podcast with the 500th episode, undoubtedly the biggest show you've ever done, and have been slowly working through the backlog over the past couple of weeks. 474 episodes to go. You guys are now officially my new favorite dynamic duo. As a newcomer, I have a couple things to say. First of all, I listened to the Angoulême episodes recently, and I want to congratulate Matt on his amazing French accent. Is the sarcasm coming through? Secondly, I'd like to thank you all and the Comixology crew because my LCS local comic shop stopped selling floppies in English a while back, and I've been looking for a way to go back to reading monthly ever since I've finally officially made the switch to digital last month. And last but not least, I'll be honest, the only reason I started listening to the podcast is because I heard you were giving away weekly codes to free comics. And as much as I love you guys now, I can't help but wonder if that's still a thing, and if not, why? Sad face. Keep on podcasting. That's from Lucas.
Oh, thanks, Lucas.
I think we retired the codes, it feels like forever ago. But, you know, we're always trying new things on the show to see what will excite our podcast community. And who knows? Maybe they'll return someday. You know? Keep your head up.
Who's to say?
Lucas. Who knows what the future will hold for us? next one, we have a dissertation in from Ryan at Some Geek Lawyer. Everyone, sit back and relax. May it please the podcast. This is regarding Harry Potter, everyone, so get ready.
I'm ready.
I think I angered some people last week. The time has come to right a grievous wrong perpetuated by Matt in several podcast episodes. Kara, as a true Potter fan, has likely had to bite her tongue many a time over these false allegations, and I applaud her for her self-control, and maybe she just got distracted because someone mentioned Tim Drake again.
Timmy! Sorry, continue.
But the time to end these spurious charges is today. I'm speaking of the allegations Matt has leveled against one Hermione Granger, celebrated resident of the Potterverse, of committing the heinous crime of wiping her parents' memory. Quote, this is false. Perhaps it is the visual imagery of the movie that has confused Matt's own memories, but the book and subsequent interviews with J.K. Rowling confirmed that Hermione did not wipe her parents' memories. She charmed them into having a new identity and to go to Australia so that it would be harder for Voldemort to find them. She says in the book that she can remove the charm as soon as the war is over. Moreover, a few chapters later, Hermione mentions how she's never done a memory wipe before. Matt should know better than to trust the secondary media over the source material. If misdirection to keep innocent people safe is a crime, then I think we'd have to start charging, every action hero ever to prevent our nerd court system from being overcome by a tidal wave of baseless charges. I hereby submit to the podcast the charges against one Miss Hermione Granger to be dropped and never spoken again. Humbly submitted, Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan. That was beautiful. I actually have a little factoid that I can use to tie these two letters together thematically. Fun fact about French and Harry Potter combined. Did you know, Slim, that Voldemort is actually a bunch of French words strung together that loosely translated means flying from death?
I didn't know that.
Well, now you do, and it explains basically all of Voldemort's character motivations, which, I don't know, you would know if you read the books.
Listen, let's just assume for a minute here that I'm just Joe movie watcher, and I watch these movies. You know, Hermione.
Matt, did you see? Did you see?
Listen, I can't just be responsible for watching these movies and then reading the books and then tracking down J.K. Rowling to explain a scene. Rowling. You know, maybe Rowling is the Philadelphia pronunciation.
Did you see Chamber of Secrets, the second one?
I've seen them all.
Okay, so you remember the scene where they're beneath Hogwarts about, and Harry's about to confront the basilisk, and he's talking to Tom Riddle, and Tom Riddle is writing his name in the air with a wand and rearranging the letters? Okay, so to make that part work in the French translation of Harry Potter, Voldemort's middle name has to be Elvis. So canonly in France, Voldemort's like real middle name is Elvis.
That explains a lot. That explains his reasons.
And now you know.
Last thing I'll say about Hermione before I bring it up in another 5 months. If she did return their memories, they should have added that into the movie in the post-credit scene. Those movies were 8 hours long. They couldn't put another 2 second scene in where she meets up with her parents in Australia and be like, oh yeah, we remember you.
They cut so much out of those movies. Past the second film, you basically don't know what's going on if you haven't been reading the books.
I'm just saying.
I mean, maybe you think you did, but it's a really superficial interpretation of the source material.
If they add one scene back to the 9-hour cut that was split into two movies, it might as well have been her poor parents.
Aw.
You know?
You're really focused on this.
I am. I mean, I'm not sure if people are aware, but I'm a father.
I was going to say, are you afraid that your son's going to do this to you one day once you send him off to the American Academy for magic?
He has been banned from using his iPad for several days, so we'll see how it goes. Final letter. Run out of tape. Kay Slim, with all the comics you've read over the years, have you ever started reading a back issue only to realize halfway through that you've read it before? Do you think you could remember something about every book you've read? Excellent interview questions with George Gustinez. One of your finest hours. Everyone should go listen to Conversations right after this podcast if they haven't already, or else keep up the good work, Mikey P. Thank you, Mikey. That was a great interview, if I do say so myself.
My mom listened to that this morning.
What'd she think?
She thought it was good. She texted me. She was like, did he come to the office? I'm like, yes. Yes, he did.
I don't know if I've ever read a book and then forget that I've read it before. The one thing that I find when I read older books is that I remember reading them when I was younger and then also trying to draw the pages. I would like put a piece of paper over the page.
Okay,
and
that's called
it.
Tracing. That's different.
Let's just take it easy. You know, I was younger. I was having fun living out my dreams.
I'm all feisty now because you're still so anti-Hermione.
Maybe I'm just anti-movie editor who decided to cut out the scene where they reunite.
The only thing that really comes to mind is that, you know, growing up, my parents would get me the Archie like digest or double digest, where it's basically like there's some new material, but most of it is like Archie comic stories that ran like 50 years ago or 30 years ago. It's like a mix of all stories from all eras. So I've definitely read and reread multiple Archie stories that just cropped up in different digests. And I'm at a point now where if you show me like a random panel from an Archie comic from before like the 90s, there's a 50% chance I've read that story. Hmm. That's what it feels like sometimes anyway.
Sounds like some kind of strange superpower.
Yeah, it's really helpful in real life, let me tell you.
What a show. You know, I'm not sure if you'll be on next week. You're going on another walkabout, you know, some other foreign country next week. Is that happening?
I'm going to Texas. That's about as America as you can get.
America? You're going to have some steak or what's Texas famous for? Is it like griddle?
I am told in the area that I'm going to that the breakfast burrito is the food of choice.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Stay tuned to your Instagram for, up close photos of said breakfast burritos.
Oh, pressure. Okay. Thank you all for tuning in. Enjoy your comics.
Goodbye.